Clock has counted down. Our take seven time is over. It's time for you to quietly take your seats. Did you hear the part about taking your seats? Some of you? Yeah? Donna. Good morning. My name is George Bjarke.
Good morning, Mr.
Bjarke. Randy, can you hear me? Randy, can you hear me? He said yes. I think his wife told him to nod his head, okay? So, good morning. I'm George Bjarke. I'm bringing your message today because our pastor's out. And I want to start with telling you a story about people showing love to one another. There were four brothers who they left home and they later became very successful and prosperous. They were grown men. They all loved their mother and they all wanted to do something for her to show their love. They each ended up doing something different to show this love. One year they had dinner together and they compared their notes about what each of them had given their elderly mother for Christmas. The first said, "I had a big house built for Mama." The second one bragged, "Well, I had a surround sound theater built into the house." The third one said, "I gave Mom a brand new Mercedes." The fourth brother boasted, "You know how Mama loved reading the Bible before her eyes went bad? Well, I bought her a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 monks, 12 years to teach him. I had to pledge $2 million to the church, but it was worth it. All she has to do is name the chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it." The other brothers were really impressed and a bit jealous that their younger sibling had kind of outdone them. After the holidays, Mom sent out her thank you notes. She wrote the first note to her oldest son. She said, "Milton, the house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole thing. Thanks anyway." To her second son, she wrote, "Michael, you gave me an amazing theater that holds 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing and I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. Thank you for the gesture, just the same." Son number three received his note, "Marvin, I'm too old to travel, so I never use the Mercedes, but I appreciate the thought, thanks." When she got to the youngest son, she wrote, "Dearest Melvin, you are the only one to put some thought into your gift. Thank you so much. The chicken was delicious." So those were acts of love and gifts that meant to love someone, and they were taken a little bit differently, although she did appreciate the one. Today I want to talk about loving our neighbor through acts of service and why this topic. This is something that it's been on my mind a lot lately. I have a specific issue where I have a neighbor that I'm trying to love through some things, a guy I don't really know very well, but trying to show my love to him. I talk about that at the men's breakfast last month. I'm not going to go over that today. But my intent today is to encourage you towards loving your neighbor through serving, and I also want to help us conceptualize what we're going to be doing and what we're going to be getting involved in at the end of August, the I Heart Exeter Initiative. So let's go to the next slide. So the theme for this message is from Ephesians 2:10. And it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Okay, so let me read that again. "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So let's go to the next slide. I'm going to dig into this a little bit. First of all, his workmanship. The word that they're using, the Greek word that's used for workmanship here, is the same word from which we get the word poem. Right? So we could say we're his workmanship. We're a poem. We're a work of art. We're basically a creative masterpiece. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You're a creative masterpiece." You are, you are. No, you're supposed to say it to her. Say it to her. Yeah, you're supposed to say it. That's all right. That's all right. We got the slow ones up front, folks, so we're helping with that, okay? So he made us the way we are. We may sometimes wonder, what was God thinking when he made this person or that person? But this person or that person is God's workmanship. And each masterpiece is a uniquely gifted creation. So when you see things that are different about the people around you, and you see, and they don't react or think the same way you do, it's because they're uniquely gifted in another way. Okay, let's look at the next slide. The verse says, "We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus." Jesus is our source. Jesus holds our identity. We may think that we may identify as something else. I might identify as a cat or some ridiculous thing like that. But I'm not a cat. I'm in Jesus. I'm uniquely created in him. And he holds my identity. He's the one who made me and built me and drew me to him. So we were all created in Christ Jesus. Next slide says, for good works. So we're God's masterpiece, and we're created in Christ Jesus. We're created for good works. Is there one before that? No? We skip a slide? No? Okay, anyway, we'll hold on to this one. We'll get there. So you were created for good works. In Genesis, it tells the story of Adam and the creation of Adam, and God created Adam to work the garden, to tend to his creation, to watch after, he named all the animals, all of those kind of things. So in Genesis, it says, we're created to work. God was created to work. So the works we're created for are good works, and those are God's works, okay? Which God prepared. Let's go back. Yeah, that one. Okay. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has a plan for all of us, right? He created these works beforehand that we should walk in them. So he already knows that. He pre-planned what we're going to do. So you're a unique masterpiece, and he created your unique way. You can't do me, and I can't do you. God prepared your way, and he expects you to walk in your way. So the things he has for you, he expects you to do. So then, let's go to the next slide. Yeah, here we go. We're good. So this morning, I'm equating good works with loving your neighbor. Most of us have had to work hard to make a living, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of life. It's part of what we do. Sometimes we work to make things better for ourselves. We all have to wash the dishes. We have to clean the house. We have to, you know, mow the lawn. We have to do the things that we have to do. Those are work things. We do those for life, for our lives. We do that. And sometimes we work because we have to. You know, you're not going to put food on the table if you're not working sometimes. But the good works God has for us usually involve benefiting other people. So the good works that God has for you usually involve benefiting other people. I'm not saying that your work and the things you do, I think those are all good things, and God uses you in those places, and that may be where he's doing the good works through you. But I think good works is going to be loving our neighbor. So the basis for loving my neighbor, we'll go to the next slide. That one right there. And I'm going to read from Mark chapter 12. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, Jesus had been talking with some other people who were trying to trip him up. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. So that's interesting. And the guy he saw a lot of wisdom in Jesus, and he asked him about this, and Jesus told him two things: love God, love your neighbor. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Jesus has identified our priorities: love God and love your neighbor. Where did I go? I lost myself here. Okay, so from the early days, when they created the law, way before Jesus' time, they said love God and they said love your neighbor in those laws. And so it came all the way through. They knew what that was. As they studied that, they knew what that was. And so Jesus then, he kind of amplifies it. He says, these are the two most important things. And so that carries on through today. So for a long time, we've been encouraged to love God and love our neighbors. Loving God and loving our neighbor, those things are inseparably linked. Genuine love for God naturally expresses itself through active love for others. In Romans 13, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, any other commandment, you are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. By loving our neighbor, we are showing love for God. So just to be clear, go to the next slide there. Just to be clear, good works don't save us. We're not tallying up points that Jesus is going to add up at the end and say, okay, you're good enough to get in. That's not how that works. Only Jesus saves you. You can't earn God's grace. You can't do enough to satisfy God. God has already done it for you. God already loves you, and he's done all of the work for us. So your faith in Jesus is the way to salvation. God has accomplished the thing that we never could. God's accomplished what we never could. So we're talking about good works today, and we're talking about loving our neighbor today. And remember, that's not the thing that saves us. That's an expression of gratitude towards the salvation that we do have from God. Right? We do those things because we love God. We don't do those things so that we can earn his favor, because we can't do anything to earn his favor. Okay? So let's go to the next slide. I love my neighbor because he saved me. I obey out of an attitude of gratitude and a desire to see his kingdom come and his will be done here. That's why we love our neighbor. That's why. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Who's my neighbor? This is a real familiar story for lots of us. Jesus answered this question by telling a story of a good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Now I'm going to read that story. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So we know the story. The traveler, he gets beaten and robbed. He's left by the roadside. 2 of the different Jewish religious leaders passed him by, not wanting to get involved. And a Samaritan, and the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were people that were not, they're considered unclean. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. This guy's the only one that stopped and helped him. He binds him up. He takes him to an inn. He pays for his lodging and his recovery. So the least likely one, least likely person is the person that helped. The person, the people with the right religion didn't help. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Have you ever had a Good Samaritan moment? Good Samaritan moment. I've had some of those. I want to relate to you an experience we had in 1975. This was in August of 1975. It was hot. We were married in 1974, so it was a little more than a year after we were married, a little less than a year after I had become a Christian. And we were on vacation, and my family lives in New Mexico. Rosa's family lives in Colorado, so we were going to go to New Mexico, to Colorado, and come back. So we had Rosa's sister Linda with us in the car, and we had crossed the Colorado River, and we're in Arizona. And in those days, in 1975, the highway, Highway 40, was just a two-lane highway, one lane going this way, one lane going this way. It wasn't a freeway like it is now. And so we crossed the river, and we're going on, and it's a hot day. It's a hot day. It's probably noon or so as we're driving on this road. And as we're driving by, I saw what looked to be a headless corpse laying by the side of the road on the other side of the road. And I looked at Rose. I said, "Did you see that?" She said, "Yeah." "What was that?" I said, "I don't know. It looked like somebody died or something." So we did a U-turn, and we went back to see what's up. And I said, "I'm going to go check it out." We parked a little ways away. I didn't want to be too close. I thought, okay, people are going to jump up and grab me or something. So I said, "I'm going to go check it out. If something happens, drive away." And she says, "I'm not driving away from you." So anyway. But anyway, I went up, and I could see that there was a person laying down there with his shirt pulled up over his head to keep the sun off. But so I thought it was going to be somebody who had lost their head, but I guess it was inside the shirt. And I said, "Hello, hello." And this guy kind of stirred, and he sat up, and he said, "Oh, can you help me? I'm so hot, and I'm..." And so we got him into our car. He said, "I was hitchhiking to Colorado, and I got left here, and I didn't know. No, I was hitchhiking to California. I got left here." And I said, "Okay, well..." And we kind of talked about it. We said, "Well, let's take him back." The closest town was Needles on the other side of the river. So let's take him back. So we drove back, and my sister-in-law's in the backseat giving him water, and he's, "Oh, thank you so much." And as we went over the bridge, he said, "Is that water ice cold down there?" You know, I said, "Yeah, it's probably pretty cold." So he was clearly overheated. And we went into Needles, and I found this motel, like a Motel 6 or a Best Western or something, I don't know. And so we went in and got the guy a room. And I told the guy at the hotel, I said, "I've got this guy, I'll pay for a night, you know, I don't know." And I walked him up to his room, and he was sitting there with his, you know, hands on his knees, kind of looking at the bed, and I said, "Okay, well, you got a night here, see you later." And, you know, I often wish I'd said, "Jesus loves you," or anything like that. I didn't say anything like that. You know, I should have pulled out the Gideon Bible and said, "Here, read this." I didn't do that. You know, I just left the guy in this room. And then we went on our way. I don't know what happened to that guy. I have no idea. I've often wondered about him. But, you know, he was there. And we did something to help him. We could have done more, obviously. But it's something, and I just really felt stirred by the Holy Spirit to do something. And, I'm still confused about what all that happened and who that guy was and wonder where he is today. I don't know. But you may have Good Samaritan moments yourself. I have a friend who houses a homeless person, lets him stay in his shed, gets shelter. You know, he's not in the house, but he's in the shed, and he's got shelter. He doesn't get rained on, or he can go in there when he needs to. We met a couple last weekend. We went to the pastor's retreat over in at the coast. We were in Santa Maria, and then we were up at Avila Beach, and this couple spoke to us and gave a message about how they work with homeless people in Atascadero. They go down along the riverbank, and they bring like breakfast burritos and stuff to people, and they just go to all, there's all these homeless camps along there, and they go from camp to camp to camp, and they bring them food and sustenance, and they sit and talk with them, and and you know, they visit with these people. And these people, a lot of them are drug addicts. A lot of them have mental health issues. A lot of them just have antisocial kind of things, that kind of stuff. And they don't really have any expectations, you know. If you don't see Jesus or say you love Jesus, we're not coming back. They don't do any of that stuff. They just visit with them, and they just live with those people for a while. And not very many people come up out of the river, you know, and get in houses and stuff like that. You know, a lot of, if they said most of the ones that come up out of the river, they're on stretchers, you know. So hard life, and they go and they visit with them in their misery. That's a good Samaritan, act. And you probably have some of your own stories, and these Good Samaritan kind of opportunities come up anytime. They come up anytime, and you probably know of them, and sometimes you may think, I wish I'd done something. So there will be another time. There will be a next one, right? It'll come up. And sometimes you did do something, and you're glad that you did. But do those things because you love people, not because you have to do that. So let's go. Yeah. So back to the Good Samaritan story. Jesus changed the entire focus of the question. He didn't answer directly, who's my neighbor? He told the story, and basically the question becomes now, who will I be a neighbor to? Who will I show love for? Right? So he kind of shifts the whole thing. And it goes from being a kind of a passive kind of question, who's my neighbor, pointing, okay, that guy, okay, then I'll go love that guy. But it become more, to whom will I be, which is a much more active kind of a question. You look for the people who's your neighbor, who's going to need you. And sometimes you know who those are. It's real clear to see who those are. You have a neighbor where the husband passes away, and you minister to the wife, right? All of those things happen. Those are all your Good Samaritan opportunities. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Think about, to whom will I be a neighbor? Of course, the people who live near you could be your neighbors, the people with whom you come into contact, your coworkers, or maybe your classmates, people you run into at the grocery store or at the gas pump, people at church with you. Any person you come into contact with is a potential divine appointment. Let's go to the next slide. I want to talk about this opportunity that we're going to have to serve our neighbors. It's called iHeart Exeter. And I want to talk a little bit about what it is and where it came from and then maybe what it's going to look like, kind of, in general terms. iHeart Exeter is a citywide event in which we get to love on our town and love on our neighbors in real practical ways. It's a way for us to give something back to our neighbors and our community through acts of service. It's about rolling up our sleeves so that together we can make a difference. It's more than just a service day. It's a chance to show that all of us, young and old, care for our city. We want what's best for Exeter. We want to see it grow and thrive, and we want people to feel the love of Jesus and the joy of friendship. So we're going to be keeping an eye out for things. Maybe there's a yard that needs some care, a wall that needs some color, a place that needs some new life. Or maybe you know some people who feel, who need to feel the love of Jesus. So let's go to the next slide. Where this began? This actually began, it started by Radiant Church. And Radiant Church, you may remember at the end of May, because there was a 5-Sunday month in May, on that 5th Sunday when you're coming to church, maybe you saw a bunch of blue t-shirts out working in people's yards or cleaning things up or just around in the community. That was the iHeart Exeter crew, it was started by Radiant, Radiant Church. If you don't know, they are in church right now, right next door to us here. They rent our chapel building from us, what they wanted to do was they wanted to serve the community, but they didn't want to just limit it to their congregation. They wanted to open it up a little bit to be a mission of the church in Exeter. They want us all to come together as the body of Christ, setting aside our denominational differences so we can become the unified body of Christ. Let's go to the next slide. All right, I'm going to tell you a story. A young man who lived in the city all of his life, he inherited a farm. His uncle died, said, I want you to have the farm. And this young man said, I could probably be a farmer. He didn't know anything about it. So he went to the farm, and he's looking around, and he says, I need to plow that field over there so I can plant a crop. He knew he needed to do that. But he's a rookie. He'd never done any of this kind of stuff before. So I looked around, and he saw that he had two bulls. Okay, so he managed to strap a harness around the first bull, and then he attached it to the plow. And then he managed to strap a harness around the second bull, and he attached it to the plow. And he says, okay, now I've got these bulls all harnessed up here, and I'll go plow. And then he looked over, and hanging on the wall, there was a yoke. He said, I'm not going to do that. So he went out in the field to plow with these two bulls that were on harnesses. But the bulls had other ideas. This bull said, ooh, there's long grass over there. I'm going to go eat that long grass. This bull said, ooh, there are cows over there. I'm going over there. So the bulls were kind of going different ways. He's trying to steer this plow. The bulls are pulling him this way. Sometimes the bulls they're butting heads with each other. You know, he's just having all kinds of trouble with these bulls. And finally, he gives up. He goes back to the barn, brings the bulls back, lets them, gets them off their harness. And he goes to his farmer neighbor. He says, I don't know what I'm doing. What should I do here? And the neighbor says, you got to put those bulls on the yoke. So they both go the same direction. So the next day, he put the yoke on the bulls, and they went the same direction. And he still had to work at them. He still had to work with these bulls, but they managed to pull them, and he had some kind of straight furrows because he actually did that. So the story I've just told you is a parable. A parable. It's a parable, right? That's right. When the bulls are yoked together, they get a lot more done. It's much more productive. And when they're not, they don't. Okay, so if we go to the next slide, we have two or more congregations working different directions. They go different ways. They don't get as much done. But if you yoke the two congregations together, Radiant Church, Exeter Church of God, we can get a lot done together. We can get a lot done together. We can go in the same direction, right? And so that's what we're trying to do here. Is we're coming alongside of being yoked with our brothers and sisters in Radiant so we can accomplish God's purposes. We are yoked with them to accomplish the good works that God has planned in advance for us to do. Hopefully you don't think that was a bunch of bull. Okay? So it's a parable, that's right. So let's go to the next slide, and we'll talk about how this thing works. August 31st is the fifth Sunday, or it's our next fifth Sunday. They start at 7 a.m. Let me repeat that. They start at 7 a.m. Right? And 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. is sign in. You meet your team leader. We'll have some team leaders assigned for some of the different things we're going to do. Maybe have some pastry and coffee, something like that. Then from 8 to noon, we're going to work. We're going to do the good works. And at noon, we're going to finish up and celebrate. What they've done before is they finish up at the park and they celebrate the park. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll finish up here. I don't know. But that's kind of the schedule. And then that night at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a worship service right here. And it's a community-wide worship service. So there'll be a lot of churches in Exeter here celebrating with us. So let's look then next at ways we can participate in this. Okay? They have landscaping crews. They've always had landscaping crews. They do trimming of trees and planting things, weeding, repairing. They planted some trees for somebody down the street here. So a lot of those kind of things, they have some people who normally do that kind of stuff. They'll also have They have a connection with the city of Exeter, who sometimes will identify some landscaping things that Exeter might need that they don't feel that will ruin their liability or anything. Then there's also outdoor cleanup, picking up trash, sweeping, cleaning, that kind of thing. Pastor Ralph said that they have a lot of their junior high kids. Sometimes they'll say, okay, go around and pick up all this trash, put them in these trash bags, and meet us at the park, those kind of things. So they do that. We also could be doing indoor cleanup. Maybe somebody has some stuff inside their house. They've got a lot of stuff in their house that needs to be cleaned out or thrown out or some of those kind of things. We can do those kind of things. Convalescent home encouragement. They always have groups that go over to the convalescent home. Usually it's like moms and kids, and they go and they sing with them and they visit with them and encourage the folks. And they go over to Exeter Manor House is where they've been going. And Manor House is very open to that kind of thing. There are other homes around that could potentially we could visit. So that's another alternative. One of the things that our guys came up with was a bike repair clinic. We've done bike repair clinics before. Basically, we set up an easy up, and we have inner tubes and patch kits and chain oil and those kind of things, and we fix kids' bikes. And when we do this, when we've done it before, it's amazing how many kids just suddenly come out of the woodwork all over the neighborhoods and, you know, with their bikes to be fixed, right? So we plan to do that. And then the next slide. One of the things we want to do is a hospitality station here, inside here. And we can have snacks and drinks for the people who are working, or for people in our neighborhood if we wanted to do that. If somebody in the community wants to get out of the heat, they can come in and do that with us. And one alternative may be to use that as our, maybe make some hot dogs and stuff. After the day's over, we can eat together, something like that. I don't know. We've still got a lot to work out about that. A prayer center. We've talked about this, having a prayer center in here where we can pray for the community, for the workers, for all aspects of Exeter. We could pair that with like worship songs. And so that's one way. Another way is a community prayer walk. We already have a couple people who do that before church on Sunday mornings. They walk around the neighborhoods. We could do that during this time as well, where we're praying for the people that we can pray with the people we come across, pray for the homes that we go by. We can do that. One idea was to write cards for shut-ins and maybe deliver these cards. We have people who can't get out of their homes or out of their rest homes or any of those kind of things. So we could write cards for them and deliver cards to them to encourage them. And there may be other ideas that you have as well, other things we could do. So there are a lot of things that we could do on this day. It's about loving our neighbors. It's about loving our neighbors. Okay, so then the next slide, if you look at this, you have one of these inside your worship folders. If you've got that, open that up right now. It looks like that. And this is to sign up for this. And if you're interested in doing this with us, you could put your name and your phone number on there, your t-shirt size. I'll show you some t-shirts in a bit. I would like to participate on August 30th in the following ways. And I've listed all of those things that I listed here, I mentioned here. And there may be other things, other ideas that you have that you could check off and list there as well. This is a chance for you to sign up and do this. And then these things, if you fill in the form today and you want to drop it in one of the drop boxes on the way out or in the offering bags that they'll meet you out with at the door with, you can drop it in there, or you can just give them to me, and I would be glad to do that as well. So if you're interested, please sign up. That'll be fun. Let's go to the next slide. These beautiful t-shirts, I Heart Exeter, Love Your Neighbor. These are the ones that Radiant's been wearing, and they don't name your church on it. It just says I Heart Exeter and something, something, something underneath there, and then it says Love Your Neighbor. We need to get these orders in, have the sheets in with your size. If you want a t-shirt, your size, a couple weeks before August 30th. So we have, still a few weeks to do that. But the t-shirts are $8 a piece. And the t-shirts get noticed. I mean, I noticed when I was coming to church that day, I thought, all these blue t-shirts. And then I knew that they were doing this. Oh, that's the I Heart Exeter group. And so t-shirts get noticed. People will see that. Pastor Ralph said that somebody asked someone in their group, what's with the t-shirts? And they told them what they're doing. He said, wow, I would go to a church like that. All right. So if you're wanting to participate, I encourage, let's get the t-shirts. And if you can't afford the $8, I'll help you. So let's do that. And then the next slide. Let's identify some projects, right? It says, do you know someone, you or someone you know needs some work done? Have you noticed some things in our community that need improvement? Do you have ideas for another way to love your neighbors? Write it on the back of this and then give it to me, right? Love to have that. And it can be for anybody. They don't have to be church members. They can be not church members. This is for, we're loving Exeter. We're loving our community. We're loving our neighbors. That's what we're trying to do here. So that's what that is. Let's go to the next slide. So in conclusion, Ephesians 2:10 said, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's our theme verse for today. And then the next slide. We talked about loving God means loving our neighbor. We talked about our neighbors, anyone God brings into our path. We have a great opportunity to show God's love through I Heart Exeter. So that's what I have to say today. Yes, Megan? Okay. Is there an age minimum? There's no age minimum. A lot of the younger kids that Radian has had, they just go over to the convalescent home and visit with people, and people who are there love to hear children's voices. And so, yeah, there's no age minimum. Did you have another question? She wants to know if we can invite other people who are not necessarily from Exeter. Absolutely, you can invite others to come and join in this with us. Andreas, did you have a question? Well, Pastor Ralph is the one that I've talked to, and he has identified like team leaders for some of the things that they've done, and we'll be talking with him to see about where do we need team leaders. If we're like some of the things we're doing, like a bike clinic, because that was kind of our idea, we'll have to have a team leader from that here. Our hospitality center here, we'll have to have a team leader for that. For if we have several crews going out doing inside or outdoor cleanup, then we'll probably have to pitch in some team leaders as well. So yeah. Okay, other questions? Now, because you do something here on Sunday mornings, I want you to know there's no expectation that you're getting roped into something on that fifth Sunday that you don't want, right? I don't have any of those kind of expectations, neither does Pastor Brandon. He and I have talked about these things. But if you want to participate, we really want you to. I think it'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing for you as well as for our community. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. And while I pray, the worship team can come forward. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be your children in this place. And Lord, as we commit ourselves to you, Lord, I pray that you would work in and through us. Help us to feel your holy presence through your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, God, for each one of the people who are here today. And we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.